Let me know when you get that up. I want to see it.
Yeah, man. Will do. It'll go up on Friday with this upcoming week's Momo's Tavern.
Awesome.
Cool. Okay. So you're looking forward to Pandaria? You're enjoying it?
Oh, yeah. It's great. They only have, like, one of the new zones open right now. And they cap you once you hit level 86, but it's absolutely beautiful. Like, I mean, there are just some really great vistas. I run Fraps every time I'm on, so that way if I see something really cool, I can, like, instantly snap a screenshot or take some video, just because I want to put together some nice sizzle reels and stuff like that for upcoming articles.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that, and I just like, you know, putting videos up on YouTube for silly reasons.
Well, we have a special guest today who actually does a lot of putting up videos on YouTube for various reasons.
Is it me?
It is you.
Yes!
We're very pleased to have you here, Tom.
Again.
No, nobody cares about Tom. Our special guest is Andy, who goes by Escoblades on Twitter. Hey, Andy.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, you?
I'm all right. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Did you want to plug your YouTube real quick?
Well, my YouTube is not actually Escoblades. It's GBIESE. So if you find that, you'll find my channel. I actually have two, but I'll just plug the first one. And that's pretty much where I do all of my YouTube shenanigans.
Shenanigans. I like that word.
It doesn't get used anywhere near enough.
We use it quite often in our home. I'll say that. We use shenanigans on a very regular basis here.
Well, I imagine Lindsay is up to quite many of them.
Yes. She is shenanigan a plenty kind of person. That sentence didn't really make a lot of sense, but oh well.
You know, I'm going to let it slide. I'm going to let it go this time.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I'm magnanimous.
Good word.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess we can jump right into what we're looking forward to this year. We'll do the intro early. This is episode 23 of Marooners Talk, and we'll go ahead and call this one Looking Forward. So what are you guys looking forward to this year?
Hopefully the world continuing on into December 22nd.
Yeah.
We'll be fine. We'll be fine.
I think continuing to live is kind of always something I'm looking forward to every year. So I'm not really sure that's specific to this one.
Yeah, well, for me, it's like, because it's like I turned 30 right before that, and I'd like to be 30 for more than like 9 days.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I'd like to get like a year of it. You know, that'd be nice. And then move on to the next one.
Yeah, it sucked to miss like Christmas. It's like so close, you know? Damn.
Especially out in the UK, because they actually like, they get really into Christmas.
Yeah, you have the tree up and all the presents, and you'd be looking at them and you think, damn it!
And the Doctor Who special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Doctor Who Christmas specials are the best.
They really are. You're right.
I've fallen off Doctor Who. I used to watch it when Eccleston was the Doctor.
Yeah.
And then I watched one when Tennant was the Doctor. I think I watched half of that season, and then I just kind of fell off it.
Oh, you need to get back in. Smith is so good.
Mm.
Because I got in where the first Doctor Who I ever watched was Eccleston.
Yeah, me too.
I was getting over jet lag back here in the States. I'd just been out to Denmark, and Sci-Fi Channel had a marathon of like the entire Eccleston season, and I just watched it all, and I was like, "Wow, this is amazing."
Yeah,
you know, and I love it. Tennant was all right, but Tennant. He had the problem of being on when Russell T. Davies was in charge of the show, and he just had way too big of a hard-on for the Doctor. But Moffat is the showrunner now, and he's great.
Yeah.
I might have to take you to task about that one, but that would be for a whole other podcast about Doctor Who, let me tell you. Yeah. Okay. But with it on Netflix now, they have everything on there. There's no excuse not to catch up if you're at least curious.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, Andy has a pretty good excuse. As I understand it, Netflix doesn't work in Europe.
Well, no, you see, so they shaft us on a lot of things, kind of like Hulu and stuff like that you guys get, and they IP block a lot of stuff. There's a way to kind of get around it if you change your DNS servers and stuff, which isn't particularly legal, apparently, but whatever. But I don't like Netflix or Blinkbox or any of those services. mainly because I do a lot of, I mean, I have a satellite subscription here, so I get a lot of those stuff here anyway, which I pay for. And then anything else that I can watch online legally, I do. So I don't know. I've never really had the need for Netflix or anything like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I guess we have such an insular view because we're spoiled with the Netflix and Hulu and stuff. It's just sort of ingrained in our households.
We're like the capital of the internet when you think about it.
Which is funny because we have the worst infrastructure for internet in the whole world.
Exactly. It's like Japan should be the capital for the internet. Like, they can just tear down their infrastructure whenever it gets moderately slow and then put it up the next day.
Yeah. Your speeds are still considerably better than ours, though. I had, so I'm looking at it from, your download and upload. I mean, like, even people, I have friends, like, out in the middle of nowhere in Texas who still get, like, I don't know, 30 down and 5 up. And I'm paying for the best sort of, like, residential non-cable that you can get. And mine is 20 down and 1.5 up.
Well, see, it's all a matter of your provider. Because, like, I have 10 down, 1 up. And then I have a buddy back east and outside of Baltimore. He has the Verizon Fios service, the fiber optic. He has 25 down, 25 up.
Jesus.
You know, so
I want that to come to the West Coast so badly.
You know, it's really just depends on where you are. And then you get like people with DSL who have really slow speeds. And then you have like some cable providers have 40 down. But cable caps people at like 3, 5.
They don't tell you either.
They don't tell you.
At the end of every month, our internet service starts to just drag and Netflix isn't working. We can't download shit. And we have to call Comcast. And they're like, I don't know what the problem is. Let me fix that. And then they'll, uncap it if we bitch. But every month I've got to do it.
Well, we've got Comcast, and we get about 30 down and maybe 10 to 15 up. Wow. We're supposed to be on a 250 gig per month bandwidth cap, but we don't really notice any changes.
See, that's, I'm on RCN. They're like I don't know where they're exactly like centered, but I have a choice between RCN or Comcast, and it was like, well, that was real easy. Not Comcast.
I've heard about Comcast.
Because like RCN, I don't have any caps, but my speeds are a little slower. But you know what? I don't really care so long as I don't have caps.
Right.
You know, because it's like, I mean, I will delete and re-download games on Steam just out of willy-nilly. You know, it's just like, I need to make hard drive space because I have, 500 gigabytes of raw video for Mass Effect 3. Well, I really want this game back now. Re-download.
The option to do that is nice.
Yeah. And maybe 500 gigabytes is a little much.
I'm wondering how long they're going to keep cap services going, though. Imagine if we went full digital on our games. Like, how much would that screw us?
It would have to change. It would definitely have to change. Yeah.
But I'm wondering if they would, because I don't know if it really benefits the cable company to change it just for one industry.
You have a competitor. Go ahead.
Sorry, yeah, I was going to say it depends on how big that industry. If it was some small, if the gaming industry wasn't particularly big, then they'd be like, yeah, whatever. But they command quite a bit now in terms of a lot of internet usage as well. I'm sure it's, at least in the States, it's definitely, we've noticed the changes over here. But they're all sort of preparing for that. So, yeah.
Well, you'd have at least one competitor step up and offer some sort of unlimited or higher cap package in response to that. And then others would have to follow suit or else lose customers.
Well, my thing is, in my area, there is only Comcast. There is no one else that is even around here. AT&T has nothing because Comcast basically, quote unquote, owns all the lines. So there's no way for a competitor to come in. So why would Comcast change the model if they didn't have to, if they have a chokehold on certain areas?
Yeah. Isn't that regulated? Can't the government sort of like go, well, you have to? Isn't there
No, because it's technically Comcast's infrastructure. They don't have to let somebody else on their infrastructure. If a competitor wants to come in, they'd have to spend billions of dollars laying the lines.
Or rent infrastructure from Comcast, who could then put all sorts of ridiculous caps on it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just like it was explained to me a while back, but like all phone lines in the U.S. are like owned by a single company, and I'm pretty sure it's AT&T. Yeah. You know, like the physical phone lines are owned by AT&T, and you can have other people who run long distance phone services. I don't really know if anybody even does that anymore, because who doesn't use their cell phone for everything now? Right. But if another company, like let's say I wanted to start Tom's long distance phone service, I would have to then, you know, rent the phone lines from AT&T. So yeah. My rates would instantly be higher because I have to pay AT&T on top of all of the other stuff.
What I was getting to think about this yesterday, because they had all that Orbis stuff with the PS4 and their way of locking out used games. You have to upload a code. And I'm thinking, like, you know, somebody in bumfuck South Dakota who doesn't even get online. I think, 40% of Xboxes aren't even online ever.
Yeah.
Like, how are they supposed to get permission to play their game if they can't even get dial-up service, or if they don't have readily available?
Well, it doesn't matter if they had dial-up service, because their Xbox can't even plug into that.
Right. So, I mean, what do they think they're going to do when people just can't play games? Are they just going to say, hey, 40% of the market, fuck you guys, no games for you? That doesn't really seem logical.
No, they can't do that, and especially given that, I mean, they don't have a full 100% digital distribution infrastructure. They can't screw over people like Best Buy and GameStop like that to be like, oh, we're just going to make it so a large chunk of your business model doesn't work. You know, they can't really do that.
I don't see why not. I mean, they're not really dependent on GameStop or Best Buy in any way. Because if people want the games, they'll be able to get the games from...
But it's the console sales, because GameStop moves... I think GameStop and Best Buy together move, like, 80 or 90% of the consoles sold in the U.S. And
yeah, I saw those numbers. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's insane. And with so many Best Buy store closing, I think they're shutting down 50 or something. Mm-hmm. GameStop, all of a sudden, can really sort of dictate quite a bit of the retail model that the companies have to follow. So, yeah. I mean, because if GameStop was like, hey, we're not going to carry your consoles, and you don't have a Best Buy in your town, well, you're not buying the new Xbox or the new PS3, you know, or PS4, I guess.
Oh, sure, you can buy it on Amazon and have it shipped to your home for free.
That's if you have good internet service out there.
even have internet. Because, I mean, it's just, you know, you can say that America has a whole bunch of infrastructure and stuff, but there are still a whole lot of people that are afraid of the internet.
Yeah.
Like my in-laws. I love my in-laws to death, but they have this irrational fear of using the internet for ordering anything. So, like, they won't get, like, Netflix because they don't want their credit card information over the internet and all that stuff. And, you know, it's just, yeah, I mean, it's just, for a lot of people, the internet is this nebulous, frightening object, you know?
Yeah, my mom's the same way with that. She doesn't like using her credit card over the internet at all.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that digital future, and I'm also terrified of the digital future, because it's one of those things that can go real badly if a couple generations down the road I want to throw in, you know, Infamous 4 or something, and I don't have a console that'll play it, and I can't re-download it because it isn't up on a store anymore. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's a weird future that
the concept of ownership changes significantly when you go to a digital only platform.
Right.
Yeah.
If I've got something in my hands, I don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I don't know. It's just real quick, though, on the Orbis, the idea of non-backwards compatibility, just, I don't.
It's dumb.
It is dumb. I understand, you know, if they're changing over hardware stuff, but at least have some form of, like, software emulation. Like, I mean, it wasn't perfect with the original 360 with their backwards compatibility with select Xbox titles, but they worked at it. They kept it going. They increased the number of compatible titles, and, you know, that was great. But then you get to a certain point with the PS3 where it's just like, oh, yeah, it was too expensive to manufacture, so we've just gotten rid of all backwards compatibility.
Well, devil's advocate here. I haven't used my PS2 capabilities on my PS3 for years. But I was kind of thinking about this. The reason they're probably doing it is to sell PS3 classics to people. You know, that's what they're going to do. Because there's no other logical reason for them not to have it at this point. And they're just kind of probably try to sell us God of War 3 again for $20 or $30 on the PS4.
Why would they sell us the worst God of War?
Well, it's just the one that jumped to mind. But they're going to try to resell all that shit again.
Yeah, but you know what? I see that being like a major sticking point. And then Microsoft, I bet you as soon as that rumor broke, they went and they said, okay, Xbox 720 backwards compatible all the way down to Xbox One. Do it. so that way they can have that to like put to lord over, you know, the PlayStation. And be like, yeah, oh yeah, the PS4 is going to be great, no question about it, but we're going to be better by virtue of the fact that you can play your Xbox One titles on here.
Which is hilarious because Sony pioneered the backwards compatibility. You know, PS2 is the first backwards compatible system.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you decided to slowly, I wouldn't necessarily call it phase it out, but move to sort of, again, it'd be a digital platform. You get, you know, Xbox games on demand or whatever. Even if you slowly decided to try and shift people quietly to that, you still have to, or you don't have to, but it's one of those things. It's kind of like an unwritten rule. It's got to be there to start with. Because a lot of people are going to look at that and go, well, that's made my decision for me in terms of purchase, which console. So,
exactly. And especially considering that launch lineups generally, I mean, they're very hit or miss. Like the 360's launch lineup, you know, didn't really have any flagship titles. So you wanted to get like a couple really good 360 games, but you also still wanted to be able to play your classic games that were, you know, available and more abundant without like having to have an extra system hooked up to your TV.
So. Well, it's weird because I didn't care so much with the PS3. I haven't used it very much for PS2 stuff, but I have such a wide range of PS3 games now too. I do worry about the launch lineup, and I want to make sure that when I have a PS4, I've got something to play. Because good lord, the launch lineups for systems haven't been good for a while. What was the last system that had an awesome launch lineup?
Well, the original Xbox with Halo, that was all the game you needed for the first bit for the Xbox. That and like Mech Assault, those two games were amazing.
True. What was the launch for PS2?
Fantavision was one of them, wasn't it? And
and Madden.
Yeah. It wasn't good.
But again, it didn't matter because you had your PS1 games that were backwards compatible. So, which meant for me that I spent my entire launch lineup with my PS2 playing Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah.
You know. And then, you know, the GameCube had a fairly decent launch. I mean, they had Luigi's Mansion, which was a very interesting take on Mario titles. There was Star Wars Rogue Squadron, and any Rogue Squadron game is amazing. I mean, that was the launch game I bought for my GameCube. I think that was like the only game I played on my GameCube for a long time, because that game was just amazing. So,
well, it's just weird that they're all of a sudden, it feels like they're moving backwards, taking out functionality.
It does. Well, at least they're moving somewhere, as opposed to Nintendo, that's just not moving at all.
Oh, Nintendo.
No, like, I thought it was funny, because I got on a friend of or I was on Facebook, and a friend of mine who works for another site was all, like, talking about the Wii U, and he's like, dude, that looks great. Like, look at this controller and, you know, these graphics. And I'm all like, hold on a second. I'm the only one in this thread that has actually held one of those controllers and seen what that system is capable of, and they're running on essentially 10-year-old hardware, and you're holding a fucking iPad in your hands that's just as comfortable as holding an iPad, which is not comfortable at all.
And the graphics aren't any better than what I've got now on the systems I do play.
Exactly. So,
what the hell do I care?
There's no way that they can produce that controller for under $100.
Yeah, and it's really cool because they're going to have Batman Arkham City, which I didn't already play, and Darksiders 2, which will have been out for like 6 or 8 months.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed that we've already played. Ghost Recon Online, which will play better on a PC and be free. You know, but... Well, that's something I'm not anticipating this year, is the Wii U launch.
No, I'm really not looking forward to the Wii U.
I really hope that was an April Fool's joke that they just did in like July because the Japanese calendar is off.
You know it isn't, though.
I know it isn't, but can I hope?
They don't know what the hell they're doing, but as long as they've got Zelda and Mario, they can print their own money.
Yeah, but the problem is that the whole reason, one of the main reasons that the Wii was as successful as it was, is that it was just like, look at this, you shake it and you waggle it and you're good to go. Anyone can get behind that. Now you throw something with two cameras, a touchscreen, dual analog sticks, and a weird button and D-pad placement, and a bunch of those people that purchased a Wii, looking at like old people and really young people, are just going to get confused.
Which is, and it's hilarious because their triggers are a worse version of the PS3 controller's triggers.
Which
is already bad enough.
Yeah, they're not like the actual like good triggers that like an Xbox has. They're just a simple button press. You know, it's just I don't know. I don't like it. I didn't play any games for it. Vinny did. Vinny was stupid and waited like 4 hours to play like 2 tech demos. You remember that, Chris? And we had a whole lot of fun making fun of him. Me, on the other hand, I got to talk Rainbow Six Patriots with the former creative director on it, and he was waiting in line in between smelly people.
Yeah, we almost decided to wait in line for that too, and then it was like, you know what? There are better things we could be doing by far, and we had a lot more fun our way.
Yeah. No, I think we ended up, I think, hanging out for a little bit while Vinny was doing whatever he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, damn it, Vinny.
Damn it, Vinny.
R. No.
We won't get into that one right now.
When I was searching through upcoming games for the year, I don't think I saw a single Nintendo game that I know of coming out. Do they even have anything being released besides the Wii U?
I don't think they've announced anything, and they better have something flagship ready to go with the Wii U, because otherwise they're not going to get like their long-term fans.
But no, that's a good point. I was looking at putting together a list of a few titles and ended up with 26. But not a one of them is a Nintendo title.
Right. I didn't even remember seeing one.
I don't either.
Well, hey, you know what? I bet you we're going to find out at E3 that they're going to announce the Majora's Mask remake for the 3DS and, you know, and Mario Party. What are they up to? 40?
I think they'll be coming up on 10 now.
Yeah, Mario Party 10 for the Wii U, which will just be a port of the Wii one with less functionality.
Right.
So it'll be like the 9th one in a row that's not any good?
Yeah. Oh, and apparently Super Smash Brothers is now on the plate because Kid Icarus Uprising is done.
That was my favorite announcement I've ever seen. Hey guys, we've got some concept art we drew on a cocktail napkin for another Smash Brothers. We're probably going to make it someday. Hooray.
You know what? I thought about it, and I'm sure that when Chris starts rambling off his 26 games, I'm going to be like, man, why didn't I remember that game was coming out this year?
Sounds
terrible.
I tweeted a few games yesterday, and I left out some really big ones that just didn't pop into my head. And so this morning, I sat down at the laptop, and I was like, all right, let's look for a list of everything due in 2012. And the 5 I remembered off the top of my head soon became... I had to split it into 2 lists. I have my first priority, and then I have my second priority list now.
Yep. Me too.
It's like, these are for sure these, if I can get to it after all of the first priority stuff.
And there's a lot of stuff.
And then you worked out how much all of that's going to cost, and you're like, shit.
Yeah.
I never do that anymore. I think after last year when I was like, man, I want to see how much I have on pre-order, and it was like $1,500. I was like, all right, I'm never fucking looking at my price.
See, I'm happy because one of my top games of the year I'm getting for absolutely free.
Oh yeah, Ghost Recon Online?
No. No, I am looking forward to that though, but Diablo 3, because I'm an annual pass holder for World of Warcraft.
Yeah, oh. So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, like, I was really sad because I did want to get the Collector's Edition, but unlike previous Blizzard Collector's Editions, which came in at $80, this one's $100.
Mm.
And it doesn't have anything more than your standard Blizzard Collector's Edition. And I was just like, I'm not paying the extra $20 markup.
It's just Blizzard going, we can charge you $20 extra.
I think it's Activision saying that they can. You know,
well,
I mean,
they're like,
just,
we can. So,
they can. They absolutely can, and I'm really sad because my favorite part of Blizzard Collector's Editions are like the art book, because man, they have some great concept artists, you know, and like that's the, you know, like I will crack open my Collector's Editions for Cataclysm and Wrath of the Lich King and StarCraft 2 just to look over that art book again, and you know, and Diablo is my favorite Blizzard franchise, so I'm really kind of sad that I'm not going to have that art book, but at the same time, I'm getting it for free.
Yeah, you know, and just wait a year. The price on the collector's editions will drop as they are still there on the shelves and pick one up. Like, for Uncharted 3, I think I saw the collector's edition down to $69 a few weeks ago, so when it drops into the 49 range on sale, probably pick it up.
Yeah, I did see Best Buy. I was there yesterday, and they had collector's editions of The Old Republic still there. But they were, like, still over $100. I'm like, nope, not worth it for a Darth Malgus statue.
Yeah, the construction of the Darth Malgus statue isn't quite as nice as I thought it would be. Just as the construction of the Alduin statue with the Skyrim collector's edition isn't as nice as I was expecting it to be.
They never are.
For the price. Well, yeah. I disagree. There are some I've gotten that are really phenomenal. Like,
when was the last time you got one that was phenomenal, though?
I would say Batman Arkham City.
I didn't get that one.
I have it sitting right next to me right now.
The kind of crouching Batman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems the quality's dropped over the past few years with collector's edition stuff.
Well, I think it just depends on the manufacturer. You know, I mean, like, I think that Blizzard, as I said, the Blizzard ones are great. Like, I mean, the StarCraft 2 and Diablo 3 ones. Diablo 3 is coming with a flash drive that is one of the Soul Stones, and it rests in Diablo's skull. And loaded on that flash drive is Diablo, Diablo 2, and Diablo 2 Lords of Destruction.
That's pretty awesome.
With StarCraft 2, it was a flash drive that looked like Jim Raynor's dog tag, and it lights up when you plug it in, and it has StarCraft and StarCraft Brood War on it.
But then you look at, say, Assassin's Creed. The last couple of those have been pretty crappy. The Jack in the Box for Brotherhood, I was really excited about, and that ended up being pretty jankety, really.
Well, we've actually about two. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was going to say, I forget you guys get slightly different ones, because you guys didn't get the Animus edition for Revelations, which wasn't particularly that great anyway, but it was like, it was a considerably better box than like the special edition that you guys had, and it had the soundtrack, and the encyclopedia obviously was fucking awesome. I think that was the best bit of the Animus edition, to be honest.
You guys seem to get much better collector's editions in general. Yeah. Every time I see them,
well, I think it just depends on the publisher and the title, especially Ubisoft stuff. I understand why you guys get better stuff, because they're a European-based company.
Yeah, but yeah. Then Sega, that Sonic Generations Collector's Edition that came out in Europe with a giant ring. Yeah. I want that ring.
Man, don't get me started on Sega Collector's Editions. I'm still,
which we'll probably never see again now.
Yeah, no. I'm just kind of I'm a little angry over because as you or most of you know, I used to work at High Voltage Software, and one of the last games I worked on was Conduit 2, and they specifically bypassed all of the QA team when they were giving out the collector's editions of that. They like sent, they literally, because we were on the listserv for that project, they individually emailed everyone but the QA team for them to come get their collector's editions.
That's messed up.
That is messed up. I wanted that collector's edition to just, you know, just to have it, because why not? And I wasn't spending money on that game.
But... yeah, why not? But on the other hand, why?
I just like having, you know, something to remind me of the stuff that I've worked on.
That's all right.
Smart.
You know, it's just like, I mean, I have a couple T-shirts from when I worked on Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe. We didn't get free copies of that, but if we'd wanted one, we could have gotten a discounted copy.
So I know we reiterated this in a past episode, but so far, you've got Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe. You've got Conduit 2. You've got Captain America on the 3DS.
And the Wii.
And the Wii.
And the Wii. Iron Man 2 on the Wii and the PSP. I think my name shows up in Nicktoons MLB, which is for the Kinect and the 360. Let's see, what else? I want to say Nick Fit. Or Nickelodeon Fit, or whatever it's called. Or if I don't even know if that game's even come out. Or if it's even announced. oops.
One listens to this anyway.
Yeah. Well, I noticed I got 16 views from my last YouTube video I put in Mimo's Tavern. So, you know, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
16 readers.
Yeah.
Starting small.
Now, does that count embedded?
I don't know. Probably not. But, yeah. Either way, you know, it's just... I've worked on bad games. You know, but everyone has. It's the way it is. I mean, not every game can be a blockbuster, and even some games that are blockbusters are absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at you, Advent Rising. You know, like they pushed that game so hard, and it just didn't come out very well. Or Too Human.
No. You know. Too Human.
And that was terrible because Silicon Knights are a great developer.
I was gonna, really? When was the last time they made a great game? Because X-Men Destiny.
Yeah.
Yeah, they made Eternal Darkness and then garbage after garbage. We should be careful, though, because Dennis Dyack might hear this and come to our houses and kick the shit out of us. He does have a degree in gym teaching, I think.
Well, you know what? Dennis Dyack, I absolutely loved Eternal Darkness. And I, despite all of its many faults, I thought Too Human had a whole lot of promise. X-Men, though, I'm sorry. I saw the E3 demo for that, and I just was not having anything to do with it. You were there, Chris.
Yeah, no, I remember I was actually looking forward to it. I thought it'd be a lot of fun, and then...
Well, once they started deflecting questions that a comic book fan really wanted to answered,
yeah.
I was like, yeah, this isn't going to be good.
Yeah. That's always a bad
thing.
I
was asking the good comic book guy questions. You know, I was like,
There were a lot of good questions coming up, and they were mainly kind of deflected or beat around the bush kind of answers.
Yeah.
So sad.
I understand you can't answer everything, but you can come up with better answers than we're not making an announcement at this time, and you know.
Yeah.
Like, give us a wink and a nod, you know? Like, something, you know, yeah, all right. But did that game actually come out?
What, Destiny? Did that come out?
It's bad. It was real bad.
Yeah, it came out
last November. Yeah.
November.
Yeah. Wow.
October, November. It was garbage. I got about 40 minutes into it, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I seem to recall that the Giant Bomb guys did not like it. But they're pretty cool, those guys. Yeah.
So, I'm just going to rattle off my list real quick. Because I spent the time researching it and putting it together. I might as well rattle it off. Were you going to do yours?
No, I was going to say, there's one that I know you and I are both going to share that I feel, since we were talking about Sega, is a little scary with all the layoffs. I'm a little bit scared for Anarchy Reigns.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not too worried about it since it's being developed at Platinum.
Well, I just worried about publishing and distribution because I think their entire U.S. operation is basically getting shuttered.
Really? I didn't realize it was that bad.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of people... discussing over Twitter, a lot of people from Giant Bombs and Vox and everyone were kind of arguing back and forth because they couldn't get confirmation, but it sounded like the San Francisco office might already be shut down and gone. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, I know some of the San Francisco people are going to be at PAX, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure how that's working out. I don't, you know, there are some people there that I'm not too worried about Sega losing, but there are some people there who are good at their jobs, and that's pretty sad.
Yeah. It's always sad to see layoffs and stuff in any industry.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's the nature of the beast in this current economy. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, now that you mention it, there are a few titles in my main list here that may not happen soon. Who knows?
Well, let's hear it.
All right. Well, my first tier, I've got The Witcher 2 on 360. Fable Heroes, because I'm looking forward to the more cartoony hack and slash adventure. Diablo 3.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost Recon Future Soldier, of course. Lollipop Chainsaw. I think that one's going to be a lot of fun. Just a really weird adventure.
It's one of the top on my list, too.
Yeah, I have no clue what that game is, but it looks absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, it's like Buffy versus zombies.
And it's James Gunn, who does ridiculous movies, and his plots are always just insane. He's made for writing video games, I think.
Yeah. Amazing Spider-Man, because I'm looking forward to returning to an open-world Spider-Man 2 game kind of experience. Anarchy Reigns, which is the one that we definitely share. Far Cry 3, Borderlands 2, Assassin's Creed 3, Brothers in Arms Furious 4, which keeps getting bumped. I don't know when that's coming out anymore. Hopefully it is still this year. Counter-Strike Global Offensive, Tony Hawk Pro Skater HD, the first Metal Gear game that I'll probably really enjoy, which will be Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
I'm just waiting for it to come out, or for E3 to happen, and then we're going to find out that it's Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, and then some other stupid adjective thrown on. You know, Revengeance Rebirth. You know, Revengeance Rebirth. We really don't know what we're doing.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to it as a Metal Gear game that I can play without getting my ass kicked.
It's the people that are making it that makes me excited for it.
Yeah, definitely. Prey 2, which I'm hoping is still alive. South Park RPG, which again I'm hoping is still alive. And Sly Cooper Thieves in Time. That makes up my main list of these are my must-gets this year. And then my secondary list, Devil May Cry HD Collection next week. Trials Evolution, Tribes Ascend, Minecraft, the Game of Thrones RPG, Colonial Marines, Fable the Journey, which, only because it's a Fable game, I'll give it a shot. The Last Guardian, if that ever makes it. Tomb Raider and Hitman Absolution. And that's my 26.
Wow. Mine's not nearly that long.
No, mine is also very, very short.
Yeah. Well, I forgot about things like Witcher 2. I totally blanked on that game. Mm-hmm. And there's some like Future Soldiers, which I know will be good, but it's not top on my list. And I think that we all can probably agree that in Assassin's Creed 3 are going to be incredible games. So, yeah. I mean, they seem obvious.
Well, Ubisoft has had, they had a really good year last year, and they're shaping up to have a really good year again this year. Very impressed by them right now.
I'll be honest, I'm really looking forward to their E3 conference this year.
Same.
Because, I mean, it's just, you look at, like, what they're showing this year, and it's just, I know what they're going to be talking about this year, or at least have a very good idea. And just, like, especially on the heels of the announce of Rainbow Six Patriots at the tail end of last year, just to get an opportunity to, like, see it in action and stuff is just going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. Because they better show off some gameplay this year. That's all I'm saying.
They will. I think they should. But yeah. No. It's. I agree with Chris. Ubisoft looking to have a really good year, and then even beyond that, there are a few things in the pipe that I heard through the grapevine that something about Splinter Cell's coming next week.
Hmm.
Yes. Something Splinter to look Cell forward 6. To.
Yeah. So look forward to that in addition to all the other stuff.
I hope that it's not 360 exclusive, though, if they do another Splinter Cell.
I don't think it will be. I seriously doubt that.
No, for a company like Ubisoft, it just wouldn't make sense to just boycott an entire platform, especially when they've been having a fair level of success with the PlayStation 3.
But they did with Conviction, yeah? Sorry?
I said they've been having quite a really cozy relationship with Sony of recent. But yeah, Conviction eventually did come out on PC as well, didn't it? But I think this Splinter Cell, from what I've heard anyway, this Splinter Cell will be multi-platform, so we don't have to worry too much about that. But yeah, I think Tuesday next week, something like that. Keep your ears to the ground.
I will do that. I did really enjoy Splinter Cell Conviction. As much as I kind of hate to admit it, that was the first Tom Clancy game I ever beat.
Oh my god.
Dude.
I remember we had that conversation a few months ago. Yeah.
Dude, give me a break, all right? I was playing Rainbow Six before anyone else even knew that game even existed. So, and that game was hard. Like, I mean, as hard as, like, you know, Rainbow Six Vegas and stuff like that are. Like, I mean, no shooter compares to the original Rainbow Six in terms of difficulty. You know, I mean, like that was so hard.
I never played it. Is that because of poor design or because of excellent design?
No, it's because of excellent design. It was like, you know, Call of Duty, they're all like, yeah, we're the realistic shooter. You know, in Rainbow Six, it was like you took a bullet anywhere in your body except a grazing shot to, like, your foot, you're out. Because, I mean, it was real combat. It was like the idea of it was that you planned your entire attack before you even set foot in the place. And it wasn't about being fast and running and gunning. It was about being slow and methodical and everyone coming home alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was the only game still that has perfect cover mechanics in a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, no, it was a really good game, and it was really, really hard. And at the time, like, I was very much a console gamer, and when that was coming out, the consoles were like Super Nintendo, and like PlayStation was just starting to come about. So it was a very hard transition to being a PC gamer. Awesome. And by very hard, I mean it was fucking hard. but yeah.
Mm.
So that kind of threw me off of Tom Clancy games for a while.
Well, there's two now this year, so let's hope.
What, between Ghost Recon and Ghost Recon Online?
One is in, what is Patriots going to be?
Patriots is next year.
Yeah. Okay, that is next year. All right.
Yeah, it's 2013. But no, Future Soldier did make my list, and I'm really looking forward to that beta. Mm-hmm. And Andy, were you on the level with the announced that the beta is coming on the 12th?
On the 12th.
Okay, because I didn't know, because it was at that time period where it might have been April 1st for you when you said that, so I didn't know.
His first April 1st thing was about him being a playable character. DLC character in 3.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking of something very similar for an April Fool's joke, and then Andy did it because he's ahead of us by several hours, and I was like, well, I can't do it now. You know, I was going to be like, joke was going to be day one DLC, I'm a Gorilla Ops character for Gorilla Ops avatar for Ghost Recon.
When I made that tweet, I think about 9 people on my timeline were like, wait, really? And then there were quite a few who were like, yeah, I'm calling bullshit. But there were a few people taking it and they were like, huh? Are you serious? Because, like, it's one of those that it was sort of like, well...
It's not beyond the realm of reason.
Yeah.
See, and then there was me who was all like, wait, I thought you were the African guy from Revelations. Oh, man, I totally picked that guy when we got to play the multiplayer demo at E3. I was like, I'm going to be this guy because he looks like Andy. And then sent the picture out where I was like, yeah, so I totally bitch slapped some people and I won for Andy.
Didn't we send you a video?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. And I was just sort of like, I want to be at E3. I want to play Revelations. God damn it.
Well, you know what? You'll be there this year, and I'm sure have 3 set up and ready for you.
Yeah, you get to be there this year, and we don't.
Yeah.
That sucks. I mean, my first E3, and you guys aren't going to be there.
Dude, I'm still paying off last year's E3.
My uncle fake died already last year. He can't fake die again this year. I'm stuck at work.
Yeah, I mean, like, and then another thing, I probably shouldn't even go. Even if I could afford it, I shouldn't go again this year by virtue of the fact that literally the following Monday, I start school. So,
You guys aren't going to be at PAX either. My first PAX, and you're not going to be there either. Bummer.
Well, it's Boston. If you do come out from Maryland, E3. Don't do Boston.
Mm. If you do come out to E3, we're only a few hours up the freeway.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to come.
All right, cool.
Just be careful. Chris's car has a tendency to break down.
New car.
So
that car is gone.
And you know, I gotta say, just getting back on topic now. A couple of the games on your list were the games that were on my list, and the one thing that I noticed that was very interesting this year is not just is Ubisoft having set to have a good year, but so is Gearbox.
Uh huh.
Because, like, two of the games, like, I mean, Borderlands 2 looks great. And Aliens Colonial Marines. Like, I want to play that game so much. Like, I think I want to play that game almost more than Ghost Recon because, you know, Aliens is one of my favorite sci-fi movies of all time. And having the option to essentially play that movie and as a drop-in, drop-out co-op online experience, I, as soon as I saw that, I was like, sold. I was like, just take my money and send me the game when it's done.
Well, and then Furious 4, if that does come out this year, that's a Gearbox game also, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, remember that demo? And yeah. I just literally sat there laughing for 15 minutes. And the guy who's leading the demo just looks over at me, and he's just like, is there something wrong with that guy? Like, it's no joke. I'm just the whole time, I'm just giggling. Because
it was just so well written, though. And you were talking about it, like, what, the day before that? Like, you wanted a humorous...
Yeah,
World War II realistic kind of shooter.
I want a humorous shooter that isn't Bulletstorm. Yeah. Like, Bulletstorm was great for what it was, but, you know, there's just something with, like, what was it, People Can Fly that made it? It's just, there's something, like, I mean, there are a group of Polish people over in Poland, so they don't quite understand the nuances of, you know, English. So they're just throwing this stuff out. And, like, they even came out, like, 6 months later, and they're like, we are so sorry. We didn't understand that all of those words were profanity. And
right. Well, they understood it was profanity. They just didn't understand the extent of what it was they were having their characters say.
Yeah, I think that was one of the most charming parts of it, though, really.
Yeah, because you know what? It was fun. That's all.
Oh, God, yes.
But it was just, like... But I just wanted something that was a little bit smarter, that wasn't banking entirely on profanity. And then Furious 4 comes along, and it's just like they're throwing bear traps and tomahawks and augmented reality stuff is popping up. You know, it's like, wreck this shit. And I'm just like, I'm going to do it, you know. And the whole time with the Hogan's Heroes or Dirty mm-hmm. Dozen style narrator going on, like, how can you not love this? And I mean, riding a half track through a German beer hall, shooting Nazis, sitting down to dinner.
Like, I loved the narration leading up to that part specifically. Like, as soon as you mentioned the narrator, that's what popped into my head.
And he's just like, they're all like, I got an idea. Where it's like, how are we going to get around this? And then one of the, like, the Scottish guy, I think it is, he's like, I got an idea, but it's a bad one. And then the director just comes in, he's like, he was right. It was a really bad idea. You know, and there they are on this half track rolling through in, like, bullet time through this beer hall. And you're just shooting everybody.
Oh, that really belongs on in the top list for me, because... If that makes it out this year, and I'm really hoping it still is, that's going to be a fantastic game.
Yeah. I think we need to have, like, a three-person review of that. Yeah. just because. Yeah. Oh, man. No, you know, and if... honestly, I still kind of list Mass Effect 3 in my most anticipated for 2012, if only because I'm really interested to see where they go with DLC, if a little cautious and frightened.
Interesting.
Well, you're, you know, Adam gave it a 95. You're not, apparently?
I'm not. I played through it again, and I had a video review mostly done and all set and ready to go, and then I finished up my second playthrough, and I was just like, I can't in all good conscience give this a 95. There's just one of the intrinsic qualities of especially the Mass Effect franchise is a level of replayability. And I find that that there's just a point that I get to in Mass Effect 3 in second playthroughs where I'm like, I feel like I am done with this game and I don't want to play anymore. You know, and it's just like there wasn't that part in Mass Effect 1. There wasn't that part in Mass Effect 2. You know, and it's just there gets to a point where I just stop getting any level of enjoyment from the game. And that just kind of kills replayability for me.
What killed me, I don't remember if I told you this or it's just me and Chris, but when I was doing my Insanity playthrough for the Platinum Trophy, at the point where you walk up to make your choice, literally, you pick your three platforms, I started walking, and the game froze while it was auto-saving, erased everything.
That's terrible.
I had to start all the way over. So that third time I was playing through on PS3 on Insanity, I wanted to kill myself.
Oh, that sucks. No, my stopping point is well before that. Like, I want to stop before you initiate that final mission, after you've had the opportunity to have your goodbyes to everybody. And now I'm just like, I'm done. Because the end is just like, even though I get it now and I fully get it and I understand it, it's just it's not enjoyable for me. Possibly because I came up with a couple realizations about in regards to DLC. The first is that any potential DLC plans either have to take place before the end of the game, right? You know, so it's just going to be like side stuff, like maybe going to take Omega back and stuff like that. At which point it's just like, okay, that's fine, but I still don't want to play through the game again. Or they're going to change the ending of the game with a DLC. And what we were presented with was a possible outcome or not like the actual outcome, you know. At which point, I'm just going to be like, so you basically shipped us this terrible ending so you could sell us a new one? And so that's why I am looking forward to, but very cautious about Mass Effect 3 DLC.
That's going to be another issue of outrage if a real ending ends up coming out as DLC and it costs another $10 or more.
Yeah.
Because like, ending of a game is something you expect to be included in the game in the first place.
Yeah, whether it's bad or not, you know, we want the end of the game. I mean, Trusted Bethesda went back, and we talked about this in the Mass Effect 3 episode, and they changed the end to Fallout 3 with the DLC, you know. But that was something that actually intrinsically made the game better. You know, not saying that adding or changing the ending through DLC with Mass Effect 3 couldn't make the game better, because it very well could. But there is just, I mean, it's just, they're in a spot right now that pretty much no matter what they do with that ending, if they choose to do anything with it, they can't make people happy.
You know? No matter what, the people who are BioWare apologists now are going to be unhappy, or the people who are ending apologists now are.
Exactly. And I mean, it's just, you know. But at the same point, it's just I should have listened to last week's episode. But something I mentioned to you is that, you know, before last week was that I said that, you know, I have been too caught up in the classic definition of art, which is that it is this piece of work that once it's out in the public, it is immutable, no longer changing. But that kind of, to apply that to games is a disservice, because one of the benefits of games is their constantly mutable nature, especially now in the era of patching. You know, so we can get rid of bugs and we can get rid of, you know, scene, or we can tweak things that don't fully work, you know, in a way that you can't do with like TV and movies and paintings and plays and, well, maybe not plays, but the rest of that stuff. So it's just, you know, yeah.
Well, that. Personally, I'm staying away from Mass Effect 3 DLC for a while. I think that with all the dust up, I'm going to just put it aside. And then maybe at the end of the year, if there's still DLC out or if they do a special, I'll pick it up again. But right now, looking at the lists we have, there's too many other good games and things that are totally new or not beaten to death that I can concentrate on.
Oh, no, totally, totally. But it's just that's just one that's on my list, you know. But Far Cry 3 is also on my list, and that game looks great. Max Payne made my list. Because
I remember the first one and the novelty of the bullet time, but after that, I haven't been interested in the Max Payne.
See, I wasn't interested in Max Payne 3 for the longest time, because I was like, whatever, it's Max Payne. It's going to be whatever. Oh no, he's bald and fat this time. Who cares? You know? And then I was just like, I started watching some of those developer videos that they've been putting out recently where they start talking about the new features and like how bullet time will work in multiplayer and things like that. And I'm just like, that actually seems like a very novel approach to things. You know? I mean, it's just, I am now intrigued by this game. And especially, like, one of the things that really intrigues me is, like, how they're taking the classic, like, graphic novel look of it, but making it in real time as opposed to, like, being, like, an actual graphic novel. So it's going to be kind of like, you know, the Ang Lee Hulk, except probably better because it's not the Ang Lee Hulk. But say what you will about that movie, but the cinematography and, like, the whole making it look like a comic book was absolutely amazing.
Yeah,
so
I mean, the movie itself was crap, but the way they did scene transitions and everything were very comic booky.
Well, one of the main problems with that movie is the fact that, same with all a bunch of Superman movies, is that the Hulk is a character that necessitates somebody that he can beat up, mm-hmm. you know, and just go to town on. And he doesn't have that in that movie, you know, as opposed to like the Ed Norton Hulk where he has the Abomination.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, that was a great fight scene. Oh, and just off game topic though, but I'm really looking forward to the Avengers.
Well, yeah, I mean, who isn't?
And if for people who are listening, all like five of you, AMC and AMC theaters in select locations is doing a Marvel movie marathon, starting at 11:30 the day before the Avengers comes out, and they're showing it's Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, and Captain America. All in a row, in order, leading up to the Avengers midnight release, and Misty and I are going.
Nice.
I don't know if I could do that many hours in a row.
Dude, you know what? I have to do it. I have to try.
I could.
And it's
when Return of the King came out in theaters that day, the community manager for Robot, Justin Korthoff, he used to live here in Fresno. He, my cousin, and I were at my house. We watched through the extended editions of Fellowship and Two Towers straight, and then went to stand in line for 8 hours for Return.
Damn.
Yeah, but the best thing about
I can do that.
The best thing about the Marvel Marathon is that it's only $40.
Damn.
For six movies. You know, and, I mean, the downside, the only downside is that the last three, Thor, Cap, and Avengers are all in 3D. But, you know.
Oh, see, I can't do 3D.
No.
What, do you only have one eye?
Well, pretty much. I have one eye that's 20/20. My other eye is much worse. So 3D doesn't work for me because I don't have very good depth perception anyway. So it's just kind of muddied. So
I suddenly feel a little bad about making that one eye joke.
It's all right. If I had one eye, though, that would have... Eh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then I would have just been like, I'm an insensitive asshole. Here I was making what I thought was a safe joke.
Because what are the odds? But yeah,
what are the odds that the person on the other end of this internet conversation I've never met or talked to before has one eye?
Probably pretty good knowing the internet.
But no, but at the same time, you do get these like cool Avengers-themed 3D glasses that you get to keep.
Nice.
That's true.
I want the Captain America ones because I like blue.
Let's see.
We may just watch them all on Blu-ray or something leading up to the movie.
Yeah, I've got them all on Blu-ray, so.
I have all of them except for the original Iron Man on Blu-ray. And I had my own little Marvel movie marathon a while back where I actually watched all of those movies, though, out of order in a single day. And Iron Man on DVD on a, you know, playing that through my PS3, it did not look as good.
Mm.
But damn, that movie is still so great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I gotta see, is there a... I know there's the release order, but is there a different chronological order of the movie events?
No, I think that the chronological order is the release order.
Okay.
Because, like, I think it's like, you know, like Iron Man 1 takes place over, what, like 8 months, essentially? Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, he starts out, he gets caught, and then he's in prison for like 3-4 months or whatever. And then it's just like, okay, so maybe 5-6 months, you know. And then he's, you know, over, I think Iron Man 2 takes place like a year-ish after Iron Man 2 or Iron Man 1. And in that time, Incredible Hulk happens. And then post Iron Man 2, yeah, I imagine that like, you know, Thor obviously happens, you know, kind of right at the tail end of Iron Man 2. And then Cap, you know, wakes up, I imagine, after Thor and all that stuff has happened.
Hmm.
So.
Okay.
We'll see.
Yeah, either way, Marvel Movie Marathon, I can't wait. It's going to be great. So.
Well, have fun.
Well, I'll be tired.
Well, all right, I'm going to jump into my list then. How was it? Actually, it's pretty close to Chris's because obviously Lollipop Chainsaw, Metal Gear, Anarchy Reigns, Borderlands, you know, the normal stuff. However, I think I'm the only person here that cares about Resident Evil 6.
Yeah.
Probably. XCOM, Enemy Unknown.
Mm.
Could be good.
Could be.
BioShock, the Studio Ghibli game, which I think is supposed to be out in November. And, you know, Skyrim DLC. That's if they make it big like they did with Shivering Isles, I would consider that a separate game.
No, I could, I can see looking forward to Skyrim DLC. Definitely. Yeah.
But there's also
DLC. Oh yeah, for the console people. I keep forgetting about you.
We don't have Randy Savage dragons flying around in our world. We can't.
Which I'm kind of okay with.
Like I would never download that mod, but it's absolutely hilarious.
As soon as I get a PC set up, I'm going to get. I'll just go buy Skyrim for the PC, and then I'm going to install every single mod I can that's like non-conflicting. Mm-hmm. And just have the craziest Skyrim adventure that anyone has ever had.
I haven't downloaded a single mod. But I also haven't played the game since Mass Effect 3 came out.
Yeah, that's true. I also want Mech Warrior Online. I'm very curious to see if that will be good.
Yeah, as am I. I love Mech Warrior.
It's been a while since I've had a good one, and it's on my maybe list with, you know, like Sly Cooper, Last Guardians, because God knows what's up with that insanity over there.
Right.
That game could end up being garbage now. And Max Payne, which could be good, could be terrible. But if MechWarrior is good, that's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah. MechWarrior games, just like, I mean, MechWarrior 2 was really the high point of that series. Although Mercenaries was really cool, but I just didn't like having to pay to repair my shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially because, like, if you, you know, lose a mission and then you're all like, well, now you have to buy a whole new mech. And I'm like, seriously? Come on, guys. So.
But it's interesting that a lot of those games could be stuff we don't see all the time. Like Assassin's Creed, again, we see it all the time. Like, we always see the Call of Duties and stuff like that. You know, Resident Evil 6, even though I love the series, it's on number 6. And that isn't including bullshit like Raccoon City, which is god-awful.
You know, a bunch of people last year at E3 were all like, man, this game's going to be so awesome. And I'm just like, Vinny and I actually played it, and I was just like, are you high?
Raccoon City? Yeah. No, it's bad. And, God, Downpour, for Silent Hill Downpour, also bad.
Did they fix the hit detection with Resident Evil Raccoon City, or is it still terrible? And no, does it take, like, 50,000 bullets to kill a zombie in the face?
Absolutely. So that's why I'm excited about seeing stuff like Darksiders 2 and Lollipop Chainsaw and things that we haven't seen a lot of that could be phenomenal games.
Yeah.
It seems like there's less sequels this year. Last year it was really full of sequels of something big. And this year it seems a lot of the games we're all looking forward to only have one or two iterations so far.
Wait, I just remembered one game I'm looking forward to that I believe is coming out this year and I want to hit myself for. Halo 4.
Meh. Yeah, I'm with Andy on that one. Meh.
No, and you know what? I am too, but I'm a sucker, and I love Halo. And even though I'm just like, whatever, let it end, I gotta buy it.
I know I will too. That's the problem.
Well, we didn't buy Reach, and I doubt we'll buy 4 either.
Oh, Reach was so good, though.
I haven't played a Halo game since Halo 3.
Reach was better than Halo 3.
We did ODST, and I really liked ODST, mainly because it had Nathan Fillion character, so it felt like playing Halo Firefly for a little bit.
Oh, you mean the Halo Firefly reunion?
Yeah.
Because it also had Tudyk and Baldwin?
Yep.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, cool. I enjoyed ODST. But yeah, that's about it. That's where I've ended Halo.
Man, that game was great. They need to do another game like that.
Well, I thought Reach was really good.
Oh, yeah, no, Reach was absolutely amazing, but it's just like ODST, like the whole idea of not being the super soldier and getting back to really, I mean, that game really got back to the roots of what made Halo Halo, you know, because the enemies were hard to kill again, with the exception of grunts, because whatever. You really felt out of place in this almost alien yet very familiar landscape, and, you know, it really kind of felt like Halo 1 redone for the modern world. You know,
I just don't know if I don't know if I trust the Halo franchise in new hands. And in my mind, if I wait until next year to pick up Halo 4, I'm probably not going to be missing out. Because I've got so many good things to play.
Yeah, I'm not going to be doing a midnight release for Halo 4, but I will. It will be a day one purchase. You know, I'm kind of like midnight releases are really kind of limited to a handful of games or a handful of events each year, and like Halo 4 is sadly not going to make the cut, and which you know sucks because you know Reach and Halo 3 were midnight releases for me. So,
but yeah,
c'est la vie.
I don't even know if there's any game that I'm really that I need to go to a midnight for this year, which is unusual.
I think I'm going to do Ghost Recon Future Soldier just because, and I think it would be absolutely hilarious to be like, what's up? You know? Oh, speaking of, I need to make that video.
You do?
Oh, yeah. For the two of you that don't know, and then the five people listening, I think it was on the way back from the Mass Effect 3 midnight release. I was texting Chris.
It was.
And I'm just like, man, I just had this great idea for a video, and I need to make it. And he's like, well, what's that? And I was like, imagine me dressed up in, like, a leather bomber jacket with, like, some aviator sunglasses.
Look in the drawer.
And a Navy hat.
You have to.
You know? And then being, like, this very Kevin Butler-esque character and be like, some of you might not recognize me as Tom Clancy, the son of the author Tom Clancy. You know, and just going, like, this very caricaturous version of myself as, like, the caricatured version of Tom Clancy that everybody thinks about. And then just, like, go ahead and pitch, like, Ghost Recon or whatever.
It would be great. I'm just laughing also at Adam giving his little instructions to whatever it is he's talking to.
Sorry, we're trying to keep, we're trying to be politely communicative.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's just, but yeah, no, that would be a really fun video, I think.
I would share it with Andy so he could put it on his YouTube channel.
Cool.
If people actually buy into it, it would be fantastic.
Yeah, I would put it on Andy's if only because, well, Andy will get viewers.
Yeah.
I will help you pimp it out. Don't you worry.
Do it. I can just imagine getting an email or something from somebody at Ubisoft and them just being like, please don't do this.
They would probably say that to anyone in the Tom Clancy family, just or anyone that pretended to be, because, you know, it's their game.
Well, see, yeah. It's cool for you, though, because your name is Tom Clancy, and you are Tom Clancy's son. So as long as you're making it clear that you are speaking as Tom Clancy, as Clance 3, then...
Clance 3.
Yeah. As Clance 3. And it is just a joke.
Yeah. Then you just start this whole wave of yourself as the character of yourself endorsing all kinds of stuff and saying I Tom Clancy support this.
This is my favorite shop in the Citadel.
Exactly.
See if you can get any endorsement deals. Have their Red Bull lend you their van or something, and you can.
Dude, I should do this for Razer because like I love their shit.
Man. Oh yeah.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Like, I have a Razer Naga right now. I love this thing. But then again, I use a standard Apple keyboard. Because it's got such great key presses.
I still love my old clacking keyboards.
Yeah, I do want a clacking keyboard, but my wife goes to bed before me. And, yeah, she sleeps very light.
Mm. Speaking of Apple, we never mentioned Baldur's Gate on the iPad, if anyone has an iPad.
I doubt it will run on my iPad 1, and I'm not spending $500 yet for a new iPad.
Okay.
But no, that looks like, I think that is a great idea, and I hope that it is amazing.
It almost had me convinced to buy an iPad for a while, and then I came to my senses quickly. But goddamn, would that be nice to play.
See, I love my iPad. I use it to play Draw Something and read books.
Jeez, Draw Something is fantastic, too. Good God.
I am actually, thanks for reminding me, I'm taking Draw Something off my phone, I think.
Oh.
The CEO, or ex-CEO now, of OMG Pop came out and started talking shit about the one employee that didn't sign on with Zynga.
Really?
And it's like, you know what, that employee, when he came out and explained why he didn't, he wished luck to everyone who did, and he had no hard feelings, and he had nothing but praise for everyone other than Zynga, which didn't fit with his own personal ideologies. And so then his former boss comes out and says that he was the weakest member of the team, and that some people are just carried by others and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, you know what? I don't want to play your game anymore.
Wow, that is messed up.
Yeah. So, thanks for the reminder.
Yeah.
That's so sad, because that game was so great, and then they had to go join the Evil Empire at Zynga.
Yeah, it happens. I don't know. Zynga. They're like, I don't know, who's like one of the gaming journalist people which we can start a feud with? Like Kotaku?
Oh, please.
Please, God,
Adam,
yes,
and I were talking about that. I want to do a Kotaku episode.
You know,
Andy, you can come back for that one. I know you have no love on there.
It was funny the day we were talking about it. We were making a joke. We both looked at the Kotaku homepage, and it was their review of the McFish Bites.
Yeah.
That was their lead article.
That was their big plastered headline article review of McDonald's McFish Bites.
To be fair, though, I love IO9.
Yeah, I
like those guys are cool.
Of the Gawker group, IO9 is the only one that really, for the most part, is entertaining.
I occasionally enjoy Lifehacker, but that's only when they have like their April Fool's stuff, where they're like, here are some DIY great nerd April Fool's pranks.
Mm.
You know, I like that stuff, but you know, IO9's the one that I go to all the time. And then I go to Marooner's Rock for all of my game news. Occasionally Joystick.
Yeah,
I haven't been to Joystick in ages.
A couple of the sites that I check are part of the Joystick Network. Like massively, they do a lot of they do MMO news and WoW Insider, which surprise, surprise, does World of Warcraft stuff. So they're just kind of part of like my daily routine.
Mm. I check on Joystick maybe once or twice a week, just to see what's going on.
Yeah, I need to find someone else to go to for my game news, too, because Marooner's Rock just, you know, it's great. And they have, like, everything. But everything that I need to know about, anyways. But I just need to supplement it. And Giant Bomb, while also great, doesn't, like, have the quantity, you know.
Same with Evil Avatar, which I like. And they just don't do enough anymore, either.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why Giant Bomb doesn't, because they have like four people that work there, but...
Yeah. Well, the other part I love about Kotaku is the fact that right now they're sponsored by Prototype 2, which I think, you know, if you're a website, you don't need to put your banner as Kotaku sponsored by Prototype 2, because that's just giving it away. Come on. Seriously. Yeah,
right. Like, hey, people get fired over stuff like that. I'm talking about Jeff Gerstmann.
Exactly. Well, if they give it a bad review, I'm sure whoever gives it a bad review will get canned.
Dude, I just think I will say it's absolutely hilarious that GameStop, that's owned by CBS, fires Gerstmann over his bad review of Kane and Lynch, and now, as the head of Giant Bomb, they get bought back out by CBS.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They announced that they got part of Whiskey Media got purchased by CBS.
Yeah, it was, Tested, and Giant Bomb went to CBS, and the rest of it went to a different group.
Yeah.
Well, that's really depressing, because they were one of those companies that they were truly independent. Those guys went out, took their Rolodexes, made their own thing, got to be entirely impartial. Jesus Christ. And then now they get to be bought out again, and it's really sad.
Yeah.
Very sad.
I even have a wiki page over there.
Yeah, I saw that.
Lindsay just forwarded me an email that she got, and it was awesome until I remembered what today was. NZXT introduces Phantom Armor, and it's like this, almost like in the Mass Effect 3, how you have the breather helmet.
Mm-hmm.
It looks kind of like that, and it has this, oh, and there's a gauntlet also, and it has, you know, built-in HD camera, LG or 4G LTE Wi-Fi Bluetooth technology, 3D vision, night mode, heat sensor, digital filter, visor, voice command, all kinds of awesome stuff. And I was looking at it like, oh, this is awesome.
And then about a minute later, wait a second. This isn't real.
Yeah, I really hate April Fool's Day because all the news sites I go to just basically fuck with you. Like, if I go to you for news, I want to get news. I don't have to be tricked.
Well, that's why you don't go to news sites on this one day of the year. You just black out for a day.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I want to have to do.
Right. Yeah, the first thing that really sparked it for me today was seeing the Assassin's Creed announced for Kinect thing on Facebook.
Oh, God.
Oh, it was pretty good. The Blizzard stuff this year has been pretty good as well. Let's see, what was it? We had Blizzard Kids, a series of Blizzard's kids games, including Where in Sanctuary is Deckard Cain, The Westfall Trail, which is, and then Strat Blaster with Edmund Duke, the StarCraft themed math game. It's just then the where is it, the Zergogachi or the Zergachi. And so it's
like a Tamagotchi. Like,
yeah, except it's also your Blizzard Authenticator. So good stuff. So
yeah. All right.
I got
my
list.
Yeah. What's your list?
Oh yeah, we had a point, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay, so I got Witcher 2, which I really want to check out, and that's this month actually. We're in April. Oh my god.
That's right.
The next one being obviously Ghost Recon and Max Payne 3. Those two are pretty much definites. Moving on, and I played the beta for Spec Ops The Line a while ago, and it was bad. It was very bad. I've heard since then that they've tried to update it and stuff. I kind of want to see if they have. I kind of want to give them that benefit of the doubt. But I mean,
isn't that beta one in Dubai or whatever?
Dubai, it was bad. As in, yeah. So,
man, and weren't they like all just like praising himself for being like everything that Tom Clancy games were trying to be but failing at?
It was horrible. I can't put it anywhere. So yeah, but obviously in June the main one for me is Darksiders 2. I really loved the first game, like really loved it, and I can't wait to play it as Death, Bring of Doom. So I'll be checking that out. Moving on, obviously Far Cry 3. I'm actually playing that tomorrow.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Uh-huh.
I know the creative director for that game.
Yeah. I'm checking out the multiplayer tomorrow, so should be good. I'm going to go against the grain. I didn't like the first Borderlands. I'm sure Tom and I actually had a conversation about this a while back, but I didn't like the first Borderlands, so not particularly.
We did have that like 3-week run of where we were hosting Digital High for a
while. Yeah.
God, that was great.
Oh, Borderlands. And then obviously October, Bioshock Infinite and Assassin's Creed 3. Like, you know, yeah. And then I had some down that weren't like, were still sort of like to be announced kind of things. Obviously, sorry, no Halo 4, just because I kind of falling off Halo. Hitman. I think that's 2012 at some point, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. I was just reading about that earlier today, actually, in Game Informer.
Yeah. So I quite like Hitman, so I'll be checking that out. Same again, Metal Gear, Solid Rising, Revengeance, Reloaded, whatever it's going to be called. I'll be looking at that. And then Street Fighter, there was Street Fighter X Tekken, but that for the Vita, that's coming at some point this year as well. So, yeah.
That's, I heard that's not so good things about that Street Fighter X Tekken.
Well, yeah, don't you have to hate women in order to play it? I thought that was a requirement.
Oh, well, I love women, so I guess that's not going to work out then.
No, weren't there certain characters locked out, but on disc kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. It's Capcom. I'm more looking forward to Tekken X Street Fighter because that will have more of the Tekken sort of mechanics, and that's like the one I can actually play. But I'm really rubbish at fighting games, but Tekken I can play. So,
man, you think you're bad?
See, I'm bad at Tekken.
I think I think I felt my first game ever was a damn fighting game. And I'm sitting there all like, oh, I'm really good at this. And then someone who can actually play.
It was one of those. I had a moment. Actually, even in Tekken, I used to play it like, well, sort of semi-competitively. But there was a moment we played. I was in university and we played this tournament. And there was this Japanese guy. And he never really said anything. He never made any sort of like, you know, there was no trash talk. So nobody really knew how we could play. But he come through this tournament, met me in the final. We're playing Tekken and he picks Armor King. And I'm like, oh, snap. Okay. And then he proceeds to just do this unending combo on me for both rounds. Perfect. Twice. I was just like, what the hell just happened? That was the first time. I was just sort of like, what? And yeah, so, and that was on the game I could play. I'm rubbish at Street Fighter. I pick like Ken and just go with the usual shit.
I don't know. Street Fighter is way too technical for me, and then Mortal Kombat is way too bad for me. I don't know. I've always been kind of a fan of DOA and Soul Calibur. I know that they're like the you know, the fighting games for special kids, but you know what? I like them maybe because I'm a special kid, but you know, but they're fun, they're easy to pick up, and when you do actually get like some semblance of good at them, like you feel like you've really done something, and then you fight somebody who's actually good at it, and then you learn that you have learned absolutely nothing.
Well, see, the 3D of that throws me off. I like the 2D playing field of like a Street Fighter or a Mortal Kombat. It's
agreed.
That makes it much easier for me to deal with.
See, I like the 3D, but that's just, I mean, it's just a personal preference thing. Like I had Tekken 3 on the original PlayStation. I had so much fun with that game.
Yeah.
So
I think with fighting games as well, it's when like, you know, like when you're playing shooters and you're playing against like a coordinated team who sort of lure you into their trap and then just proceed to spank you all over the place. It's like when you're playing a fighting game and you suddenly, the penny drops and you start to see what the person is doing and is just almost waiting for you. And it's just luring you into their domain and then proceeding to just beat you in a corner. And you're just like, but I can't do anything against this because you're just turtling across the screen. How do I attack this person? Jump? No, they're going to punch you in the air. It's like, attack them on the floor. It's like, no, they've got you there as well.
And speaking of you know, teamwork in a shooter, we're going to like have to really dust that off for a future soldier.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
because I was reading about that or watched that video for Guerrilla Mode. Man, that looks like the first real evolution of like the whole Horde firefight thing in a while.
Yep. Well, that's what, like with Mass Effect 3, the multiplayer, it's fun for me for a little bit, but the 11 waves just take too long on certain maps, and I get really bored with it.
It doesn't feel like enough of it. It doesn't feel like a real iteration over that style of game. It does, like, I mean, the Mass Effect powers don't really feel to me like they've added anything to that formula.
But then, yeah, looking at Guerrilla Mode, as soon as I saw the email come in for that, I was like, oh, great, they're including another Horde firefight mode because that's just the thing to do now, apparently. But then actually watching the video and reading the release, it's looking really fun, actually. You know, it's looking really fun.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. Yeah. You know, it's just like, you know, I mean, the idea of like the first stage is that you capture and you make your little HQ, and then the subsequent phases are protecting it until you have to go get a new one.
Right.
You know, I'm just like, all right, I'm down for this.
Well, and then wave survival, if you get a streak of waves survived, then you get like turrets or other like major bonuses, and it feels more valid, I think, than a lot of other firefight horde modes, because you're going into an objective and you're defending it. There's an actual point to being there.
Yeah, and then especially another thing, just the way Ghost Recon plays, especially with the engineer class and having that drone. Because like I tell you right now, that's the class I'm going to be playing in multiplayer, because as much as I enjoy shooting people like the next person, I'm not that great at it. But you give me the opportunity to essentially be the scout for people and point out people that need shooting. Oh, hell yeah. I'm all over that. You know, and you know what? I'm sure Andy will love that, to be like, you know, like, oh, I marked this dude in the map for you, and Andy just sees him. And, oh, he's around the corner. You know?
Headshots.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, I've played Rainbow Six with Andy. He's pretty good.
But, you know, I do love, I mean, this is going to be a much more intelligent, thought out multiplayer than you usually find. You're going to have to put together a balanced team, and that team is going to have to communicate and work together, and you can't have any Leroy Jenkins in it.
No, it's pulled over some of the best things of the Assassin's Creed multiplayer, which is that you play as a team.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, just like you said, there's no lone wolf Leroy bullshit. It's, you know, you are a military unit, and the only way to succeed is to act like it.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be awesome. Looking forward to it. Really.
Definitely.
Anyone who isn't is lame. No, no, that's a lie. There's plenty of people for whom shooters aren't a game, a viable game for them. So they're lame. But
well, they got the Wii U to look forward to. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, no, then they can only play Ghost Recon online.
Kind of.
Yeah, but you know what? I did get a chance to play Ghost Recon Online at E3 last year, and I wanted to get an... I have access to the closed betas that have been going on, but I just haven't bothered to, like, download the client because, well, I have other things going on like, Friday and Saturday nights, like, you know, spending time with a woman. But, no, it's just... It plays... at least last year's E3 build played really cool. I like the idea of it. It brings over a lot of, like, the future soldier mindset of working together as a team. Yeah. But at the same time, it also has some level of lone wolf where... I lone wolfed because my team was all like, well, we're at E3 and we don't know how to play video games. Like, a lot of, like, press and people are. You know, which is kind of sad because, like, you're like, oh, man, you're surrounded by, like, 10,000 other people in your industry. And you're just like, great, I bet you all these people know how to play games. And you get up with somebody and they're all like, so how do I move around? And I'm all like, well, I have an objective to capture here. And so I'll see you later.
You know? That does not make sense to me. Like, being a film critic but not really liking film, or being a games journalist and not playing games or enjoying games or having grown up around games, how does that work?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but it's just, well, for some people it's a job and it's something they can do.
Yeah.
You know, and
like, well, we were talking about, oh, but you're saying this last week, a lot of the people have been in the industry for so long that it is a job. It isn't about the games or the industry. It's just what they report on to get a paycheck.
Yeah.
But I mean, and then there are some people who have been in there forever and they still love it. Like, there's no tomorrow, like Dan Amrich.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, man, that was pretty awesome getting a chance to meet him.
Mm-hmm. We got to hang out with him at the Ubisoft presser, of all places, actually, at E3.
That's
weird. He was there, and we were sitting with him and hanging out with him beforehand and a little bit after.
He's a nice guy. And, I'm a sucker for anyone on Twitter that will respond to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's responded to me more often than not.
And man, he is one of the most thankless jobs in the industry, though, especially when it comes to
what being a community guy for Activision.
Yeah, he gets the brunt of, like, the Twitter hate, and he does not deserve it even remotely. He doesn't have anything to do with most of what Activision does.
Yeah, but I'm sure that he's also capable of just being like, I know they're not being mad at me.
Oh no, he handles it well. It's still. Not a job that I would want.
Oh, hell no. It's not a job I want. No. You know, I'm sure that even, like, the Ubisoft people get, like, a fair amount of, you know, die in a fire, especially when, like, you know, Rainbow Six Patriots got announced and Future Soldier got announced. Because, like, the Tom Clancy's fans, they are, you know, they're weird. You know, it's like, I've gone to the Tom Clancy fan page on Facebook every now and then. And, man, the book fans are weird. You know, like, they are nuts. You know, and
did make that the topic of your first Tom Clancy endorsement video.
Yeah. Hey, book fans, chill the fuck out. So, you know what? That'll be the title of the first video, Chill the Fuck Out.
There you go.
No, it won't. I'll get yelled at for that one.
Yeah, you would, by a lot of people, probably.
There are. It's just, like, it's really kind of hard, because it's just like, man, I there are so many things, like, you have no idea how many tweets or, like, Facebook comments that I delete before I say them, because I'm really afraid that somewhere that's going to be remembered by the absolute wrong person.
Hmm.
you know, even though I only have, like, I have less than 300 followers on Twitter, but, like, the ones that do follow me that aren't spam bots that I haven't cleaned out yet know who I am. So I don't want to, like, say something unbecoming. So I have to, like, really think about what I say, and it kind of sucks. Which is funny, because you look at, like, actual legit celebrities like Andy, and they don't have to worry about it at all.
Oh, well.
True. That's true.
I, you know what? It's weird you mentioned that, because the other day I wanted to tweet something, and then I was suddenly like really self-conscious of the fact that there are a few industry people who follow me, and I'm like, yeah, maybe I won't do that. And then you start trying to come up with vague ways to get your point across without looking like some unprofessional dick.
Yeah.
But then the vague ways are almost as bad, because then it comes off as like a passive aggressive kind of thing.
Aggressive, I know, right? And yeah. It's just, so that's why I've started going all out. It's like if I want to say something about Eurogamer mostly, because some of their editors are dumb. But yeah, I just come out and say it, and like, you know what, that's just stupid or.
Oh man. I had a couple. I had a couple of BioWare writers actually thank me for a couple comments that I made, because a bunch of them took like a big break on Twitter after the whole like end of Mass Effect 3 happened, and a couple of them follow me, and we talk back and forth every now and then, because they're great people. Yeah. You know, and I one of the comments I made was like after the whole like big stink really started, and I said, you know, I never liked the ending of Casablanca. Can I start a petition to get that changed? And I had a couple of them a couple weeks later come back, and they're like, dude, that was classic. Thank you so much.
What's wrong with the ending to Casablanca? I like
it. Oh, absolutely nothing. I love the ending to Casablanca, but I was just saying that, like, you know, it's kind of a downer. You know, he doesn't get the girl, and they don't beat the Nazis, and World War II still happens. You know?
But all of that makes sense within the context of Casablanca. That's the difference.
You know what? But the thing is it's just, you know, it's also a different time. I mean, you look at people back then, and having, like, essentially a downer ending like that was cool. Mm-hmm. Because that was a great ending. Or, like, even the end of Citizen Kane. That was cool. Mm-hmm. But, like, now, I mean, if it doesn't end with a happy ending, if the Matrix ending, look at that. That was something that people went into not knowing that it was going to end in, like, a downer fashion. And look how pissed off people got with, like, Neo dies and so does Trinity? This is fucking stupid. You know? Like, what do you mean that it's not all puppy dogs and sunshine? You know?
Yeah, I think people were pretty mad about the Matrix series before the end of the third one, though.
No, exactly. But you throw in an ending that is not very popular or not something that's very commonplace this day and age, and people get pissed off. Like, imagine if, like, Back to the Future had a legit epic ending and Marty McFly and the Doc die. You know?
Would have prevented the third movie from happening, so I would have been okay with it.
No, they die in the past, so they still got there. But you know what I mean, like, you know, it would have really kind of, you know, pissed a lot of people off. And I thought the third movie was pretty all right. Thank you very much.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. But no, it's like what we were talking about texting a few days ago. I could have been cool with the Matrix ending at the Matrix. Yeah. That was a solid. And then the second and third one happened. But I love what they did with Lord of the Rings. They did the whole thing at once. It was one solid one-time effort. So you had a consistent experience from start to finish.
Yeah.
That idea needs to be applied to more trilogies, that you're not going to do it piece by piece, because you're going to end up going off your path that way.
Well, I already pitched you my Superman trilogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great.
A good trilogy.
Yeah, it would have been an amazing trilogy.
But you know what? Just plan it all out at once. Do it all at once if you have to. And you'll get it right.
And you know what else I would have done for that Superman thing? I would have kept Brandon Routh.
Brandon
he
Routh
was great.
Fantastic Superman.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll be honest. Yeah. I will go out there and I will say it. I loved Superman Returns.
I did too.
You too.
I liked it too. Absolutely.
It had that same problem that we were talking about with the Hulk movies, is that ideally Superman has someone he can go up against and throw down with. But
yeah, exactly.
As a setup, Superman Returns was a fantastic setup for bringing Superman back. Mm-hmm. Into relevance and tying
really
into
was.
Superman and Superman 2.
And the new one looks just awful.
Yeah, it does. The only real downside, really, that I kind of had with Superman Returns was that Kevin Spacey, who's an amazing, amazing actor, was just trying too hard to be Gene Hackman.
Mm.
And you know, I love Gene Hackman, I love Kevin Spacey, and I love both. And I think that if the two of them got together, that would be an amazing movie. But neither of them should try to be each other.
I know what you mean about him trying to be like Gene Hackman, and that I agree. I think he did a good Lex Luthor. I think he could have done a better one if he did it himself.
His way. Yeah, but it's just like Brandon Routh channeling, you know, Christopher Reeves is different, if only because Christopher Reeves, he was Superman.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I mean, he just nailed it. It's like Kevin Conroy Batman. You know, just gets it. Like Batman Under the Red Hood, you had Bruce Greenwood play Batman, and he did a great job doing a Kevin Conroy Batman. Yeah. But he wasn't Kevin Conroy. You know, like he never really took it for himself. But I mean, that's part of the problem is that Kevin Conroy, for an entire generation of people, or multiple generations of people, he is Batman. You know, and it's just too bad he couldn't have been him in the Nolan movies. Then we would have had a Batman voice that didn't sound like a guy who smoked four packs a day.
I'll continue to defend Christian Bale's Batman voice in those movies because it needs to be a different voice than Bruce Wayne's. It needs to be something more intimidating. It needs to be something people won't recognize. And the growl, as it was, like, solved all of that.
No, it kind of does, but it sounds like he just took it like a couple steps too far, and Nolan wasn't like... I guess Nolan was afraid he'd throw another tantrum, so he was just like, just go with it. Just go with it. I'm going to stop fucking with your lights.
Yeah, precisely.
So, and on that bombshell.
Well, you guys got anything else?
No. I don't think so.
Oh, my Mass Effect 3 video review should be done in the next couple days and posted. I'm just gonna tell everybody now. I'm giving it an 80. It's a great game, and an 80 is still a great score.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, as I said, the replayability just kills it.
Cool.
You know, and that's just it. And don't forget to check out Weekly Mimo's Tavern every Friday. My new pal. I gotta plug.
Love it.
I got to track down Hank Azaria and be like, Hank, please just do this for me. And just go, Mamo's Tavern. and also, I need somebody who's a little bit better with, like, MS Paint to make a higher resolution Mamo's Tavern sign.
Yeah, we can work on that.
Yeah, because, like, the thing is so small. And, like, I bumped it up for the video that's going to be up this week. And I was just like, that looks so terrible. That picture was not meant to be seen in 720p.
Yeah. Okay, we got to get off because Adam's actually got something. I totally forgot, and we've gone way over time.
Yeah, people are yawning at me, but it's fine. We're just going to be nerds all night. So.
Okay. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
I don't know.
Okay, so yeah, you can find us at maroonersrock.com, twitter.com/maroonersrock, facebook.com/maroonersrock. Thanks, Adam, Tom, and Andy for joining us. And Andy, you want to plug your YouTube one more time?
It's username GBIESE, and I'm at EscoBlades on Twitter.
Tom Clancy and Adam, your Twitters?
Adam Green, GRENEY, pretty easy.
I think I should change mine to Clance3, but...
I think you should. That's a pretty awesome username.
I am at Tom Clancy because apparently people have a problem understanding that is Tom.
When let's throw this in there. When, because you started tweeting with Lindsay first, and I saw that, and I didn't think, neither one of us thought that you were actually Tom Clancy's son. It was just, you know, Tom Clancy. What a coincidence! until we met you at E3, and it kind of came out as a confirmation. And before we met you, I was like, you know, I'm going to go up to him and I'm going to call him Thom, because I'm sure he gets it all the time and I'm sure he really fucking hates it.
Oh, I hate it. I'm used to it at this point, because, like, people are like, Thom? And then I'm all like, yes?
Yeah?
Because it's just, why did we take the H out of Thomas when we shortened it to Tom? Seriously.
Right. Well, it's like, you know what? If I had come up to you and said that, you should have been, okay, Triss. What's up?
Yeah, how are you doing, Christopher Chaffin?
When Tom started tweeting me, I was all starstruck. I told my, well, she's now my ex, but at the time I was like, oh my God, it's Tom Clancy's son. She's like, dude. Yeah, what? And I'm like, no, seriously, it's Tom Clancy's son? Because it's funny because I tweeted you the picture that Christmas of the new books I got. And one of them was obviously your Tom Clancy book. And they know, her family knew how much like I loved the books. So I'm like going, yeah, I'm just tweeting Tom Clancy.
No, man, I feel so bad because you were following me for so long and talking yeah. back and forth before I followed you back. And I was just like, because I try to respond to everybody. I mean, it less than 300 followers and not too many people tweeting at me on any given day. It's really easy to do.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just I just like if someone's going to say something to me, I want to say something back. You know, so I will say this right now on the podcast. I will tweet me. I'll tweet you back unless you're spam bot. You know, so it's just like I remember the first time I think I decided to follow Andy was I was all like, I'm trying to figure out what to do for dinner tonight, wings or Thai food. And Andy was just like, Thai. Yeah. And I was just like following.
And then actually, Thai food sounds pretty good. We need to do lunch still.
I'm going out for wings tonight with Vinny.
Nice.
I haven't seen Vinny for weeks.
Damn it, Vinny.
Oh, yeah, give him a damn it, Vinny, from us.
I will give him an epic one. He's getting a dog today, apparently.
Yeah, he keeps talking about getting a corgi.
Yeah, apparently it's really happening today.
Nice. But he's not going to name it Ein.
No, he's not. I believe his short list... Hold on a second, let me pull up the text message. But I know Harrison and Edison were on the short list. What else?
Yeah, I remember Edison as being one of them.
Oh, Fry is in the lead right now. Misty and I were pushing for Enzo. Because his name is actually Enzo. But then he's all like, wait, name the dog after me? I was like, no, name it after the Ferrari.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it works for Indiana Jones.
Yeah, yeah. But so we were just, you know, but I think Fry is what's going to end up being called. He sent me a picture last night. He's like, what the hell am I doing? And it was an empty dog bed and bowls and a leash. And I was just like, oh, God, he's going to have a dog and it's going to be hilarious. So, all right. So that's way off game topic.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, thanks for joining us. And I'll go ahead and we'll see everyone next week.
Cool. Bye.
Bye.